This is so foreign to anything that's taught today. Bear with us. Because there's an awful lot in it when we talk about this subject of rebellion. This is how we get to the key of child training. Here's what rebellion is. The definition is the act of open and determined defiance or resistance to any authority or controlled power. We as parents have to learn to recognize this. Rebellion is willful rejection of authority expressed either actively or passively. Now, you're going to have to learn those two words because we're going to use them a lot. Active and passive rebellion. There's two kinds. And, you know, by the way, this doesn't just take in children. There's women that have passive rebellion, men that have passive rebellion. And we're going to see that. An active rebellion. When a child says no, that they're not going to do what you want them to do, that's rebellion. We don't like to look at it that way, but it's rebellion. When a little child says, no, Daddy, no, Mommy, that's rebellion. That's rebellion in the worst kind. There's some of you, parents of your child, that say, no, Mommy, no, Daddy, and you'll sit there and you want to reason with them. There's only one cure for rebellion. We'll get to that. There's only one cure for rebellion. There's no other cure. When a child ignores or forgets, when a child continuously forgets, he's actually choosing not to remember. Your word is not important enough to remember. That's rebellion. They don't know how to listen. You know, in life, we need to learn how to listen. Julie, in her gym class this week, had the kids give her instructions. And she was going to do exactly what her students were going to tell her to do. And it didn't go quite like you thought, did it, girls? I see them looking kind of strange. Because their instructions were not real clear. And she was teaching them that you're to be careful how you say things and to give good instructions. You know, some people can give instructions and you understand them. And other people, you might as well be on the moon. Let's try to understand. What? What? Now, Mike, darling, I'm not talking about your instructions the other day, trying to tell me about how to set the tub. Mike says, you got to do this and do this. I says, huh? And blah, blah, blah. I said, what? I said, I better come over. I don't understand what you're talking about. And I got over there and I still didn't. No, it wasn't his fault. It was me. I've been eating drumsticks that day, and I couldn't get it in my head. No, I finally got what he was saying. But I had to get there and see it because I knew it wasn't coming across. But it wasn't his fault. It was mine. We need to learn how to give instructions. We need to learn how to take instructions. We need to learn how to listen and to listen correctly. And you know, children grow up never listening. That's one of the problems in the workforce today. No one can ever do anything. When a child says no, when a child walks away while you're talking, and they walk away. That's rebellion. Occasionally, not too often, but occasionally I'll have an adult that won't like something and they'll walk away from me. Just walk away. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, I've had it happen. That's rebellion. Or they throw a fit. Well, most adults don't ordinarily throw fits. Occasionally. But kids, they'll throw a fit. They'll scream and holler and whatever. Never, never, never are you to tolerate this. They're to listen without backtalk or complaint. They're to listen to what you say. Or if a child continues to play and just kind of pretend that he didn't hear or she doesn't hear you. You know, not real obvious. Just kind of like they didn't quite hear that you were in the room. They didn't quite. You know, isn't it kind of funny when you say someone's name in a crowded room and their eyes go, ears go, and yet they can't hear when you want them to hear? Now, I'm hitting home, aren't I? Some of you husbands are thinking, that's my wife! And some of you wives are thinking, that's my husband. We don't have our ears. I was kidding Susan. She got two hearing aids, and I was calling her two ears. She said, why do you call me two ears? I said, well, what did you get? She said, well, I just got two hearing aids in my two ears. She said, oh, I don't know why you call me two ears. Am I right, Susan? She can hear good now, can't you? She can hear so good that she had to turn me down today. Rebellion, see? Your child should be made to look at you when you talk. You know there's adults today that cannot look at anybody in the eye. Have you talked to people lately and that's because they get it from the parent. They never learn to look you in the eye. Boy, you've got to demand respect. I never, when I talk to my kids and they start looking the other way, brother, they're going to look at me or they're going to... I wish they'd looked at me. Kind of important. Another way of this rebellion is to avoid the guilt. It's never their fault. And you know, we got parents, the kid will go home, it wasn't my fault, my kid, you did this, it wasn't my fault, it wasn't my fault. Well, let me hear your side. Never do that. Listen, when I grew up, the teacher was always right. When I grew up, I didn't know there were two sides. When I grew up, I never told the fact that the teacher was mad. Because my daddy, as permissive as he was, the teacher was always right. Always right. Period. We got parents today. You know, they don't, you know, they want to be fair. Listen, you better teach your children respect for authority. You know how they used to say in the Sears, the customer's always right. J.C. Penney, the customer's always right. Well, that's not true, but that's what they used to teach. The customer's always right. What if the teacher's wrong? It's still better to teach your children respect for authority. Well, what if they clam up instead of arguing? What if they clam up and they don't listen? This is what a lot of adults do too, isn't it? This is what a lot of people grow up and they grow up to be big babies and they don't get their way and they get mad at their spouse and they clam up. And they just don't talk. Or when something's not going quite the way they think it ought to go, they clam up. We get that from childhood, don't we? We learn to pout, clam up. An awful thing. Passive rebellion is when the outside, the child does what he's told, but on the inside is rebellion. How do you detect passive rebellion? You've got to watch for the looks. You can always tell. You watch for the looks. If I tell my children to do something, and they did it, but I saw a bad look, brother, they got it. They got it real quick. Someone said it's sitting down on the outside while standing up on the inside. That's passive rebellion. In other words, not letting your true feelings be known. You kind of hide. You're not open. You're not to the point. Now, there's some people to the point, too much to the point, but there's some people never get to the point, right? Some just never let you truly know, and then they take it all in. You got to watch that in the face of a child. Watch the face. They can't hide it. Even adults can't hide it. They just can't. You watch that face, and you can tell in that face if there's passive rebellion. And you got to get it out of them. Girls are most prone to this passive rebellion. Sweet little, innocent little girls. And you got to be real careful about that. You boys are laughing. But you're a lot worse. But anyway. You got to watch it. or they don't do what you tell them, and they put it off, and they put it off. Well, I was about to do it. Mom, I'm going to do it right now. Mom, I'm doing it right now. Another subtle way of passive rebellion is to do it, but not quite the way you wanted it done. Did you ever have adults do that? They don't quite do it the way they're supposed to do it. They put their little twist in it. That's passive rebellion. I thought a good example of good obedience was up at Spring Lab when we were doing the campfire. I may have told this. If I did, I'll tell it again. And I said, Pastor Julian went and said, until I tell you, don't light the fire. Well, I went ahead and said, light the fire. But Paul Julian hadn't heard his dad say, light the fire. And he says, Dad, can I light the fire now? Now, that's the way it ought to be, right? If his dad says, don't light the fire, do I tell you to light the fire? Then don't light the fire. That's the way it ought to be. Instructions. Make sure. There's no harm done. There's no harm done in doing a double check. There's no harm done in making sure you're right. But that's passive rebellion. Your child does it, not quite the way you told them. And you kind of say, well, they didn't mean it. Well, they didn't. And you let them get away with it. Or the other way of passive rebellion is to wait. And then they kind of, the delay is kind of a form of victory. Obedience is not the time for creativity. When you give your child an order, you don't let creativity take over. It is the place for strict and complete compliance. Parents, learn that. Now, we're talking about these early years. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord, you look at your verses, 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, listen to this, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Did you know that? Rebellion is just as evil as witchcraft. If your child is allowed to sulk, pout, and make everyone miserable around them, if not drawn out, it will explode in the teen years. If you do not discipline your children, Christian school and everything else will not work. It's an impossibility to work. It's rebellion. See, rebellion is the overthrow of authority. Parents are not responsible for the conflict. The child is, but a child is to obey the parents. But when they don't obey, then the parent has to do something. Now, this is to children. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And children have to learn to obey, but they'll never obey until you get this rebellion under control. The child, my will be done, like Satan said. The child wants his will to be done. In Isaiah 14:14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. See, this is what caused Satan to fall. I will put my will over everyone else. It's my will. This is the battle of the universe. Like Satan, you do not have the right to rule me. You do not have the right over me, Satan. A child must accept the parent's authority. A Christian school will not make up the difference. I repeat that 200 times. A Christian school will not make up the difference for you not taking the God-given authority that you are supposed to take. Now, you can take the God-given authority that you're supposed to take, and if you put them in an ungodly school, it won't work either. It takes both. But one will not work without the other. If rebellion is not put down, what will happen? Revolution will come. The Chinese, let me tell you a secret. They made a big mistake as far as their point is concerned in letting this thing get out of hand, because now what are they going to do? Kill 3 million people? Rebellion is revolution if it's not dealt with. This is why you know situations and you know families, dear ones, out in your business world, and their teenagers are literally living in revolution. The complete overthrow of authority. That's what rebellion is. Some children take over the control of the family. Everything is done in the light of the child's will. Some parents hate conflict so much that they just ignore conflict. But then someday it gets so bad that you can't ignore it any longer. Here's a few wrong ways to deal with rebellion. When you don't deal with it correctly, you can only negotiate, and this is chaos. Now the parents are only counselors. Take it or leave it. That's all. Negotiation does not work. Now the parents are in a bad situation. When the reasoning fails, their only approach is to manipulate by bribes, threats, or deceit. Bribery is the feeding of one's sin nature to give or to take away. It will never, ever help. You hear parents say, if you're good, I'll give you an ice cream cone when we get home. If you're bad, I'm not going to let you have that ice cream cone. Now that really does a lot of good, doesn't it? It will never, ever help. You know, redirecting a child's interest is fine if no rebellion is there. But if there's rebellion, you can redirect their interest all you want, but it won't help any. It won't help any. I want us to get to this subject now of chastisement. There's only one cure for rebellion, and that's chastening. Chastisement. I want us to see that. This is where force as a parent comes in. What would our world be if it did not have prisons? What would America be if there were no prisons? It'd be awful. It'd be awful. What would you do if there were no prisons? You wouldn't know what you could do. You know what the world would be like with no prisons or no control? You know, when America gets away from discipline, we are going to be a decadent nation. I believe we are in our decline right now as a nation. I don't believe any nation can exist that gets away from the God-given rules of a parent disciplining their children. I believe we are in the decline right now, and I believe this country could fall. We are a decadent society. And it's a serious situation. There's two forces available for parents, and they're punishment and chastisement. Punishment is different than chastisement. These two things are mixed up quite often. There's great confusion that exists between these two things that God has given us. See, punishment is anything other than the using the rod or the paddle. Punishment is a child, say, not rebelliously breaking a lamp, but carelessly breaking the lamp. And punishment would be having the child pay for the lamp some way. There's a difference. Rebellion has to be met with chastisement. And you can't mix the two. Chastisement is to inflict punishment or suffering. That's corporal punishment. This is more than discipline. Someone say, well, I got discipline. Well, discipline can mean a lot of things. If you're in the Army or Navy or on a sports team, discipline can mean a lot more things than this. This is hard for parents to accept because of all the false teaching that we have today. If we just look around, even without the Bible, we can see how the lack of chastisement has hurt the child in so many ways. So many ways. Lack of chastisement, as we can see the terribleness in society and what it can do. This is one of the biggest problems in America today. God counts it so natural to chastise, He uses it for illustrations all the time. He uses it for illustrations. You know, people can't stand this. They can't stand to even talk about chastisement today in our society. Now, I want you to look at some of the illustrations that God has given in the Bible. 2 Samuel 7:14, I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. The Bible always uses this word rod. I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. The rod is the only instrument ever mentioned in the Bible for chastisement. I think that's interesting. Parents who love will chasten. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I think that's important. Scourgeth, to whip or to lash with a whip or a small, bendable rod. That's what scourging means. You know, man always feels that he has a better way than God. Receiveth means to welcome back. In other words, it's over. So let's look at it again. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Scourgeth, to whip or lash with a whip or a small bendable rod. Men always feel that he has a better way than God. So the word receiveth means to welcome back. In other words, it's all over. After the paddling, it should be over. There should be prayer and welcome back. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Do you notice how God uses this word over and over and over? The word love here is the word for fellowship or to bring back into fellowship. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Chastisement is the only way that you're ever going to get your family back together. When your child is rebellious, the only way you're going to have that sweet fellowship again is by the paddle or the rod. Very important to see it. Look at Proverbs 13:24. This is kind of an interesting verse. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That means early. He chastens him early. Do you see that? He that spareth his rod hateth his son. When you spare the rod, you say, but I didn't know any better. But do you see what it says? He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Well, I'll tell you what. When you spare the rod, what you're going to produce? It's just like you hated your son. But it says it there. I'm not trying to cover it up. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him early. Spareth means to hold back. Betimes means early, young years. Hate your son. Oh, well, I don't hate my son. But you hear people say, but I was brought up such and such and my father beat me, and I just can't whip my children. Listen, that excuse will not hold up. I feel for you. I know it hurt. I know you may have been treated wrongly, but it's not going to last. It won't last. Listen, you're seeing that God's Word is not correct. Hebrews 12:7. Now listen to this. And Hebrews 12:8. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In the Bible times, he said, is there anybody that his father doesn't spank? Of course, today, they didn't have the psychologist then, did they? They didn't have all these kooks going around telling everybody, "Oh, don't do that. They're just wrong." Let them express their feelings that are bent up anger. Let them scream and holler and knock their heads against the wall. It will help them much more. Listen to what it says in verse 8. "But if you be without chastisement, whereof all of you are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons." You are illegitimate. You're rejected. See, this is why we say that a child that's not disciplined is a child that feels rejected. This is why children have this sense of rejection. Listen, you can give your children everything. You can give them everything in the world. And if you don't discipline, they don't learn, and you don't get that rebellion out of them, they're going to feel like you didn't love them. And they're going to say, "But you never really loved me." If you ever became present, your kids would write things about how they never really loved them. Like they did with the Reagan family. Because they weren't disciplined. I guess. I don't know that for a fact, so take that back. Rebellion separates the child from the family, and he doesn't know why. He's unhappy with self and doesn't know why. He feels no love, no matter what you buy for them. See, this child, without the discipline, without the chastisement, they don't know why they're unhappy with themselves. They don't know why they can't control themselves. They just don't know why. In rebellion, the child has chosen his own way, and chastisement is the only way to bring the child back to you and himself and ultimately to God. It's the only possible way that you can bring this child back. It's just impossible any other way. You know, if you can get this out of them, that doesn't mean when they're older they're still not going to do things they shouldn't. But it means they're going to be able to accept it. Yesterday I came in and my wonderful, dear, sweet daughter was taking stuff. She'd had all her clothes. You know, we're doing some remodeling at the house. I'll tell you, I didn't know how I was going to get this message done. I've got great people that are giving themselves to help us get our house remodeled. And we got stuff in the garage, stuff in the yard, stuff in the backyard. And there's no place to go. And I came in and my dear, sweet daughter's carrying big boxes. And she set them right down on our new dining room table that someone was kind enough to give us. I says, "Julie, don't set it on that new table." "I'm sorry, Daddy." But there wasn't that. "Who are you to tell me?" It was that. "I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm sorry. I can't help it." "Julie, I'm not helping your image, am I?" But she didn't get all ruffled. "I'm sorry." And it's over. Just over. Just like that. No big deal. It doesn't mean that if you raise them, they're still not going to set stuff on a new table. They have to be trained, you know. "Julie! Don't do that!" You can't say I'm not being truthful, because that's exactly the way I said it. But there was none of that resentment and, you know, "I'm sorry." And it was over. No pouting. Of course, you wouldn't pout either if it was going to be told the next Sunday night, you know? I tell you, this works, dear friends. And you got to learn by it. If you made mistakes, listen, God will forgive. But you got to keep looking forward. You can't look at your past. You can't say, "Well, I've done blown it." Okay, you got to make the best of what you got in the future. Now we're going to get to a subject that's very interesting: the correct use of chastisement. Now, tonight we're not going to do it, but soon we're going to show you how to use the rod. And I was kidding this morning, we're going to have some volunteers on how to use it. Andrea, you want to be that person? Come on up, Andrew. No, I'm kidding, Andrew. I'm kidding. He probably would. the correct use of chastisement. Parents have a right, but must not misuse this right. Now, let me repeat that. You must not misuse your right. And I can't say that enough times. Parents, don't misuse your right. God made a place perfectly suited for discipline. He told us how to do it with a rod. And we do not have a right to misuse or to beat up on our children. Chastisement means to inflict punishment or suffering upon with the view to amend, and it means to punish. In child training, to inflict pain sufficient to cause the child to correct his rebellion or to restrain a child from willfully being disobedient. That's what chastisement is. To inflict pain sufficient to cause the child to correct his rebellion. Let's say you say, don't cross the street without permission. You make sure the child understands it. Let's say the first time the little child does it, you're watching, you know, and you're not quite sure that the child still understands it. Now, you've got to make sure it's rebellion, parents. You don't whip unless it's rebellion. And you go say, no, you do not cross the street. Take them back over. No. They cross the street again. Then you know it's rebellion. Then you discipline them with a rod sufficiently to make them remember it. Today we had to run over to get something in Palatine. I don't like to shop on Sunday, but we had to pick up something for our house. And we went over to Palatine. I drove down, got over into Plum Grove Road. And the only ticket I've ever gotten in Illinois, I've gotten one in Wisconsin, but the only one I've ever gotten in Illinois in the 18 years that I lived here was on Plum Grove. And it was the day we bought the first property, and I was in seventh heaven. I was driving along, floating in the clouds, but I forgot that I had a speed limit down here on earth, you know. And I got on that road, and I said to Linda, I said, boy, on this road, you better drive 35. She said, yeah, you remember that ticket, don't you? I said, you remember that? I said, how come you remember so good sometimes when it's with me? When a child gets a good whipping, they have a tremendous memory again. Not to do that. Their memory sharpens. It gets crystal clear. And you're teaching them to obey. I'm thinking of Dave Scherenhausen and Jason. I call him Bee Sting. Where you got stung out in the forest? I'll bet you I don't have to say, now Dave and Jason, this year don't y'all walk on that area without a pass. I don't think I have to tell you that well, Dave. Dave, maybe you are mine. No. Because they think about it and it hurts. Well, when you inflict the pain with a rod when a child does something bad, they have a good memory. And when you say no, they just finally decide no means no. They don't have to go get hurt. When you say no, don't put your finger in the fan. Well, yeah, they could put their finger, lose a couple fingers, but it's easier just to say no and teach them no means no. It's just a lot easier on their fingers. And if a child learns to obey, what a difference it makes. Why is the rod so important? First of all, the number one reason is God says so. And if God says so, we don't need any other reason. The Hebrew word for rod is God's symbol for delegated authority to the human race. Now we're going to look at some verses. Well, I like to give you verses because I want you to see the power that is in the Word of God. I want you to see how God uses it as a natural thing. No apology. We live in a world today, and they say, well, that's abuse. Physical force only teaches kids to be physical. That is not true. It's just the opposite. We're living in a society today, the kids are getting reckless and abusive. Those kids that terribly assaulted that lady jogger in Central Park. Of course, I don't know why anybody would jog in Central Park in New York. The whole world is sick over it. Those kids weren't disciplined. See, a lack of discipline causes kids to be abusive. You say, but child abuse begets child abuse. We're not talking about child abuse. And I hate child abuse. We're not talking about hitting your kids and beating them up and throwing them around. We're talking about using a rod God's way. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later. But look at this. Look at Psalm 89:32. Then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. You see how God uses that? Look at Isaiah 10:5. Oh, Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. Isaiah 10:24. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. You see how God always uses the word rod? Lamentations 3:1. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. Ezekiel 20:37. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, the rod. Micah 5:1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughters of troops. He has laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. See, God uses the word rod always to inflict punishment. Literally, the rod is a narrow stick used by parents on a rebellious child. I think about the different means of corporal punishment. I remember we had a neighbor that had children, and they had a willow tree in their yard, and the children said, the worst luck anybody could have is to have a willow tree in your yard. And those parents would go out, and they'd break those, and they'd strip them like this. And man, those kids were extremely well behaved with that willow tree. That's why they call it the weeping willow. Some people think it's because the branches weep, look like they're weeping, but it's because of the children that have been beautiful rod. It works. The dowel rod works because, well, we'll get into because later. Look at 2 Samuel 7:14. But that's going down to Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod, as we've already read, but I wanted you to see it again, hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him early, betimes. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Boy, I tell you, some children know how to cry, man. Others don't cry. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Don't let the crying. You know, some know how to cry and get out of it. They know how to cry and they get out of it. Don't let that happen. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Do you see that? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound. You see that? Good to see you. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. See, that's why it says rod, though. It doesn't say beateth him with a board. It doesn't say beateth him with a razor strap. It says beateth him with a rod. He won't die. He may sound like he's dying. He may wish he was dying. But he won't die. See, God knows all the answers. I'd say in the summer, parents, if you have a willow tree rod, I'd use it. I think that'd be an excellent biblical rod. I tell you one thing. I've only got it once with a willow. Man, it leaves an impression. The weeping willow. Proverbs 23:14. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. What? Wait a minute. You mean it's got something to do with even salvation? Sure does. It's commanded, dear friends. It's an obligation. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Oh, listen, I know that to be a fact. Now, parents, don't you expect the school to do all the answers. Don't you expect Clinton Row Bible Church or the Bible Church of Villa Park to have all the answers. No. You have got to follow the Word of God, and you've got to control and discipline the child. Now, why do we use a rod? Now, when we use a rod nowadays, we're talking about a dowel rod. There are all kinds of little ones, and they get bigger as the child gets bigger. It beats using your hand or any other way. Of course, anything is better than nothing. But usually it's better not to use your hand. It's better to use the rod. And why is that? The hand is identified with you. They should fear the neutral object, the rod. The hand is not the best way. Not like a belt. A belt is something associated with you. Now, when I first raised my children, I didn't know about the rod. And I used the belt. It certainly worked, but it would not have been as good as a rod. I'm just sharing that because I don't want to ever preach anything that's not true. The belt's better than nothing. The belt's better than the hand, but the belt's always with you. The belt's... Boy, I tell you, I was master of the belt. Is that right, Pastor Floyd? The rod keeps the child's interest on the pain and not on the parents. It is a fear. And then the good thing about the rod is the mother can inflict equal pain as the father because it's aerodynamic. Listen, even the little rods, not too many, even adults would want to be hit with them. See, with the rod, the chance of hurting the child is tremendously minimized. You can hurt someone with anything, and you've got to be very careful that you don't. We're going to talk about that before we close tonight. But the chance of hurting a child with a rod, seriously, is minimal. And if you're doing it the way you're supposed to do it, it doesn't exist. If you're using the right way and you're not in a fit of rage, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I think that's so important. Plus, it does away with the tough stuff and the pride. You know, I used to know kids and say, man, my dad just whipped me with a big razor belt. You know how they used to have these razor straps? That used to be the... And they'd hang those. And, man, those things could really, really hurt you. I mean, those things are about that thick. How many of you have ever been whipped with a razor belt? Okay, one back here. There's more of you. Now, come on. There's more than one. You've been hit with a razor belt? Really? Okay, we'll be talking to you after church with the board. And they would really, you know, that was a very common thing. And they would say, man, I'm tough. But, you know, if you get a little old rod, you can't say, oh, man, I just got it. What did they whip you with? Well, rod. You're not very tough. They don't even mention it to their friends. You take away all bragging rights. Here's another beautiful thing about the rod. This is so beautiful. God is so incredible in everything He does. The more you resist, when you're getting whipped with a rod, the more it hurts. Because all the nerve muscles are on the by the skin. And if you tighten up the rod, oh man, the only way to minimize the pain is to relax. Did you kids know that? We usually don't let that out. Andrew, did you know that? Yeah, see, if you would relax, you'd get less pain, Andrew. You think it'll help you? He says, no. See, when you relax, it does minimize the pain. That's teaching what? Submission. Sometimes it's hard to get them to totally submit. But I tell you, the harder they fight, the worse it hurts them. Isn't that God's wisdom again? The way to get through life is to learn to submit. The way to have the least pain in life is submission. Oh, there's always pain in life, but the way to have the least pain is submission. The child tightens up and it hurts, submits and it hurts less. Still hurts, but that's because God knew and made the nerve endings close to the skin in that particular place, in our particular situation in dealing with children. Those verses that I've just given you, you look them over and read them over and over. You know, it's very hard sometimes for a mother. I've seen Linda just cry sometimes when I'd whip the kids. She never interfered, but it really bothered her. See, it's much harder for a woman than it is for a man. A man, it doesn't really, you're not going to believe this, but in West Germany, they outlawed fishing with hooks because it hurts the fish's mouth. Seriously. Dr. Tanny, you just lived there. They're crazy. They said it. So now to catch fish, you got to go down and give them Novocaine. No, I added that last part. They did. They outlawed fishing, catching them with a hook, or putting them in a net, or putting them in an aquarium. They're kooks. We're getting the same way in America, close. I mean, we really are. The fish don't feel the pain of a hook. I've yet to ever catch one. They go, wow! And you know, to the mother, the child's going, you know. Listen, it's not really. It's over. If it was hurt so bad, how come they can be smiling 2 minutes later? If it's such a terrible thing, how come in 2 minutes it's over with? It's hard, though. I know. Husbands, be understanding. But mothers, keep those verses and read them over and over and think of the danger if you don't do it. Now, parents, don't ever fight. And one try to defend the other and say, no, 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 and run to mommy and run to this one. And don't do that. Pastor Cochran was here, his little son, and he was trying to break him of it. He'd get in trouble, and he'd go, I want my mommy. Joel would say, I want mommy. And boy, I tell you, he'd go out and, no, you don't want mommy. Boom, 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 boom. Pretty soon the child says, I don't want mommy. Titus 2:3. Now this is important, that you've got to learn sometimes, ladies, that you've got to be taught these things. The aged women, now the problem with that is that no one ever admits to this part. We can't find them. They vanish in life. The aged women. You know, it really made me feel bad, this whoever died yesterday, 42 years old. She was only 42. But if you're 42, they think you're over the hill. But if you die at 42, they say you're only 42. You can't win, can you? Only 42 and died. Well, listen, a lot of people die at 42. They're not all in the physical condition that I'm in at 42. Did I say that? As I drop dead in front of you. Okay. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. In other words, the older women ought to learn to control a big mouth. I just thought I'd throw that in. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Loving your children is chastening your children. It goes against what's natural. It goes against the natural grain. The father needs to make sure that the mother does this, and if you see the mother not doing it, you need to privately call your dear wife aside and say, this is not correct. Proverbs 23:14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Listen, mothers, and listen, dads. This is not something that's a matter of what you were raised or not raised. Listen, I know some of you were raised wrong. I know some of you were literally beat. And it's an awful thing. And it's something that should never be tolerated. Is when people abuse children. But if you don't use corporal punishment, it's legal in Illinois still, praise God. It's legal in the public schools in Illinois still, praise God. But we're getting so much negativism about it, we don't know how long it will be. But I'll tell you what, parents, you better do it. With our new system in our school, the demerit system, you better learn to discipline your children. What's the correct number of strokes? Well, that's up to get the results. We're going to get into more details, but here's the thing. There's a wrong way to use this chastisement. I want to go over the wrong ways, and we're almost done. The wrong way, it is not to be done. You're not chastening the child to cause pain. You're chastening the child to correct the action and get the rebellion out. Your purpose is not to cause pain or to make as much damage to the child as you can. The purpose is to get the reaction that you want, to get the rebellion out. The purpose is not to bring tears. Some children will cry with nothing, with just the air coming toward them. And others are so tough that you can hardly get them to cry. Don't worry about it. Just do what God tells you to do. God doesn't say worry about the result. God just says do it. The internal, the child wanting to submit is something that you cannot make. You can make the child outwardly submit. You can always discipline when they're disobedient. But you cannot make them submit internally. That has to come. And if you do your job and you love them, and you hug them, and you praise them, and you don't always criticize them, and you discipline them when they should be, but carefully, and not when they shouldn't be. You've got to make sure it's rebellion. Some parents are so afraid that especially in public, the child does one little thing, and they do 10 overreactions. Because they're afraid, well, Pastor Scudder's going to think I'm not doing it right. Listen, you be the same at church or at home or wherever you are, and you discipline, but you make sure chastisement is for rebellion only. You make sure that you don't chasten your children what should have been punishment. Again, punishment is when they've done something wrong, but it's not an open rebellious act. Never. When you have had a bad day, and you're angry, dear parents, I would make sure that I would never hit my child when I was angry. I don't mean when you're whipping them that you should be all, praise Jesus, you know, from whom all blessings flow. But I'm saying that your anger, you should not have an anger and frustration and vent your anger on your children. Some people, they live their whole life and they're frustrated and they come home and they take it out on their wife and their children. Some women do it the same way. It's a terrible thing. Oh, no, here he comes. I'm scared. Listen, don't do that. Don't whip your kids if you're angry. You will hurt them. And God does not give us the right to physically hurt our children. A rod brings pain to the outward surface of the skin. It does not bring lasting damage. And there's been children that have been hurt, that their parents have done terrible things to them. And don't do it. Now, that doesn't mean that when you're whipping them, you should act like it's a Sunday school picnic. You should let the child know that you're unhappy, but you've got to be under control. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Make sure you are under control. Because this would be wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be upset with them. But you make sure that you are under control. If you'd ever been with me when my dad and I found this dead child that had been abused by a drunken father up in the mountains of Kentucky, it left a taste that I'll never forget as long as I live. Some of you have seen abuse and you've seen children beaten to the point that they were hardly able to live. Through neighbors and things. Thank God we've never had it in anybody in our church. But we've got to be very careful. Chastisement is the controlled use of force. So don't unload the pressures of the day onto your children. They've got these commercials on radio now. And they're trying to get you not to verbally abuse your children. Say, I wish you'd never been born. Don't say things like that. You know, I never said to my children, I never said, you stupid. I'd always say, you know what you just did was stupid. You're not stupid, but what you did was sure stupid. You know that makes a big difference. This doesn't work with my wife, but I'd say anyone that is as perfect as you, I don't believe you did that. She's fell for that lately, and she knows. Anyway, it don't work anymore, but it used to. Never say to your children, you stupid idiots. You say, what you did was sure stupid. That doesn't seem like you. You're not that kind. How could you do that? You see, there's a big difference. And we've got to be very careful. And then again, chastisement should never be used for punishment. There's a difference. I gave my kids a lot of leeway when it came to other things. I just did not accept rebellion. You can give them a lot of leeway. You can give them a lot of leeway. And we were pretty lenient a lot of ways on our kids. Maybe too lenient, I don't know. We didn't raise them perfect, and you're not going to raise yours perfect. But when it came to rebellion, and there was no ever did they get away with it. But when it came to feeling comfortable at the house and feeling like they weren't under the gun all the time, we didn't go and, are you having your devotions? How many minutes? You know, we didn't do any of those kind of things. We let them have freedom. We let them want to serve the Lord. We let them do what we thought was right. And we tried to let them have freedom. We gave them allowance. We let them spend it the way they wanted to. We tried to give them liberty. And then when they were bad, we would punish them if it wasn't rebellion. But I'll tell you one thing. The main thing, though, is if your kids are rebellious, you have to chasten them with rods. Now, we're going to be able to cover that. We're going to be able to show you how to do that. Next week, we'll do Child Series Part 6. If there's any of you here tonight that don't know you're going to heaven, let me say this. Don't waste your time. You don't know how long you've got to live. We don't, any of us, know how long we're going to live. You know, there's some people that have gone to church and all, and they've never trusted Christ. And if they were to die, they don't know where they're going to go. Let me just show you this real quickly. This billfold represents sin. This hand right here represents you and me. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. To go to heaven, you've got to be sinless. There's not anybody in here sinless tonight, is there?